7 o'clock. Welcome to the City Council meeting. It's Monday, July 11th, 2016, at 7 p.m. Call to order.
Mayor Pro Tem Jimmy.
Present.
Alderman McCowan.
Present.
Alderman Schnell.
Present.
Mayor Sanford.
Present.
Alderman Hoskins.
Present.
Alderman Bowles.
Present.
We have a quorum.
I want to have a moment of silence for the fallen soldiers in Dallas. So if we could just bow our heads for a minute. Pledge of Allegiance.
Gentlemen, could you take your hats off, please? Thank you.
I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the American flag. I pledge allegiance to the Texas. One
state
under God, one
and
indivisible.
Moving on to 3.0, special presentation. We don't have it. 4.0, council reports and requests. 4.1.1, items of community interest. We're still working on the bids for the bulk pickup. We should have that within the next week or so. Hopefully by next council meeting, we will be able to review those and make a decision on how to move forward with our refuse collection. 4.1.2, compliance with Texas Utility Code confidentiality laws. I wanted to introduce our attorney, Chris Gregg. Could you read that statute for us?
Sure. So section 182.052, confidentiality of personnel information. Except is provided for 182.054, which sets out various exceptions. A governmental operated utility may not disclose personal information in the customer's account record or any information relating to the volume or units of utility usage or the amounts billed that are collected from the individual for utility usage if the customer requests the government operated utility keep the information confidential. However, a governmental operator of the utility may disclose information related to the customer's volume or units or utility usage or amounts billed to the collected from the individual utility usage if the primary source of water for such utility was a sole source designated aquifer. Under subsection B, a customer may request confidentiality by delivering to the government an appropriately marked form provided for under subsection C3 or any other written request for confidentiality. C says the government-operated utility shall include with a bill sent to each customer, one, a notice of the customer's rights to request confidentiality under the subchapter, two, a statement of the amount of any fee applicable to the request, and three, a form by which the customer may request confidentiality by marking an appropriate box on the form and returning it to the government. D, a customer may rescind a request for confidentiality by providing the government written permission to disclose personal information. E, a governmental body as defined by 552.03 Government Code may withhold information prohibited from being disclosed under this section without the necessity of requesting a decision from the Attorney General under subsection G, Chapter 552 Government Code. This is obviously the law. I think this arose due to a request for information. When an open records request comes in, the question is, was there a confidentiality report on file for that person at that time? If it is, you object on this. If it wasn't, then it's releasable.
But the city's required to notify, right?
Yeah, I mean, obviously. Subsection C says the city shall do it. And I think to cure this, work in the future is to, in each bill that goes out, to put a form in there for each resident. Asking, as it says under C3, put a form in there promulgated by the city, asking if they want to help have these water bills and other personal information under this section held confidential. If it is, then if any open records request comes in, and then that shows that you have to have delegated, yes, we want it confidential, then it will be withheld.
Okay. So we're required to notify everybody that wants to tell you, right? We're going to send that out in the next water bill?
And it's a copy of that.
Okay, perfect. So look for that in y'all's water bill. All of y'all have a right to confidentiality of your water bills.
I do have a question.
Sure. You fill it out.
On this bill, on the notice, it has address, telephone number, and social security number. What about name, bill status, anything like that? Is that information in public as well?
Nothing. Going
can
on.
I see the form you're talking about just so I can see what I'm seeing?
We can't give address or anything, but what about names and about status of the bill? Because it's not covered on the form.
Well, I think the way the law reads, if this request form comes back and it says, yes, I want it withheld, then any documents related to that fall under 182052 would be exempt, and we wouldn't even have to ask
an agent. I just have a question because it said Social Security address, that sort of thing. So.
Yeah, and Social Security is definitely something that would never be disclosed. It would be objected to each time.
Okay, thank you.
As an attorney, you also have a right to privacy that was supposed to be notified within 14 days of that right to privacy. It wasn't included in our election packet, so David Stahl has given us all a form to fill out if you would like to make your information because an elected official to be private. That's it. So, moving on to public hearings and public comments. Can you read the requirements for public hearings and public comments?
Oh, with regard to the rules of decorum and that type?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Under the current ordinance with regard to the public hearings that come up, with regard to disruptive comments and conduct, it just should be noted that no person who addresses counsel shall make a belligerent, personal, impertinent, redundant, slanderous, loud, threatening, abusive, or disparaging remark, statement, or commentary toward the counsel, staff, or other individuals in any manner which disrupts, disturbs, or otherwise impedes the orderly conduct of the council meeting. Nor shall any person engage in any other disorderly conduct which so disrupts, disturbs, or impedes the orderly conduct of the meeting. Counsel shall be held to the same standards. Nothing in this section shall prohibit or discourage orderly criticism of any citizen decision or policy within the limits of the rules. Any violation of the rules shall be grounds for terminating the citizen's comment period. Continued inappropriate behavior comments after having been directed to discontinue shall be grounds for removal from the meeting.
Thank you. So next we have public comments, 5.1. And I'm going to start on this side. We're going to work away from this way to this way. So if we get over here, we pass you, you've missed your time to speak. You?
I don't have an agenda item. I'm just going to go on based on
can
what
you
I do.
Can you give your name and address?
David Marine, 3316 Miramar Drive. And I don't know what the agenda item is. It is concerning open carry or concealed carry. Folks, we got a little bit more issues to deal with than to deal with persons in council, whether it is council, whether it is citizens, carrying weapons. We've got a chief right there, and if he gets unruly, I suspect he could get, and lickety-split, somebody else here to take care of it. I don't think Al-Qaeda or ISIS is going to come through the door and run the snows. Now, I could be wrong. They've had their issues in Dallas. But tensions are high in the city, and I would highly or respectfully request that you remove that agenda item. I think it is inflammatory. I don't want to encounter somebody in here with open carry. I think it would be I don't even know where to put it. I'm very big on Second Amendment. I own weapons, I have long guns, short guns. They're all legally purchased. But I don't want to encounter somebody with an anger in this council chambers because they disagree with my opinion and their holster is sitting at their side open. I think it is really, it's a poor choice for our efforts. I'm here standing, I don't know how many times, asking for that to be removed And I'm still waiting for my ditches. And in all fairness, I did talk to the city manager about digging my own ditches because I cannot get the city to do it. I pay waterfront taxes. In other words, I should be able to drop a pier on the other side of my street. That's the taxes that I pay for. But I can't do that because there is a easement, there is a street, and a park. Now, what the hell is the problem that I can't get my ditches dug, but we're going to start packing weaponry in council chambers? That's ridiculous, and I absolutely am opposed to it. Thank you.
Good evening, Council. My name is Wayne Thompson, and I'm a sergeant with the City of Shore Acres Police Department. I've been with the city for nearly 4 years now. In my time with the Shore Acres PD, I've served as a patrolman, sergeant, and as the acting chief of police. This July marked my 24th year in public safety career field, which included serving as a police supervisor, EMS director, paramedic, firefighter, and numerous other positions and leadership capacities. I'm also a military veteran who served as a combat medic in the Texas Army National Guard. I have been highly awarded in all my professional fields. In those 24 years, I have never once been the subject of a complaint, accusation, or negative action against me, either by a subordinate employee, supervisor, or citizen. This recently changed when the mayor of Shore Acres directed the police chief to investigate me for abuse of sick time and failing to notify supervision of my illness and injury. I want everyone to be aware that the internal affairs investigation waged against me was retaliatory in nature and had never contained one iota of substance. Regardless, the investigation was conducted by Chief Harrison, and I provided documentation to prove my innocence in these ridiculous accusations made on behalf of the mayor. I was subsequently completely cleared of any wrongdoing by this investigation, and I want everyone here to be aware of that. My history with the now mayor began around 2013 when I dealt with her on numerous traffic violations.
Directly speak of me. Is he allowed to direct anything
towards you?
It's not. It's factual.
Is he allowed to direct it to individual council members?
It would be better if you could direct it to the whole council.
Council, my experience with the mayor began in 2013 regarding numerous traffic violations, including an expired registration on her blue Hummer H3 and other issues. This happens to be the same one she drives around currently, in which the registration sticker has expired with 4/16 as the date. Later in November of 2014, I was notified by Caldwell County that they suspected a wanted fugitive was living at 211 Shore Acres at the residence of the mayor. I located the fugitive, who was wanted for felony theft, as a passenger in the same blue H3 Hummer, and he gave the address of 211 Shore Acres Boulevard. I arrested him. Recently, during my time as acting chief and at the request of the citizens, I instituted the very popular Next Door program to increase efficiency and public safety notification. During that time, the mayor made it clear she was unhappy with that decision, both on her Facebook pages and later during a phone call to me. She made it clear that she would deal with me if she won the election. This is not the first time she has threatened an employee over the phone. Keep smiling. As you can see, she made good on that one campaign promise. To my knowledge, that is the only one she has kept. You will hear tonight that I have threatened legal action against the city later on in the city council meeting. I have left the option open for the mayor to apologize and resign in lieu of legal action. My intent is not to harm the city in which I have personally cared for, but to make the mayor stop her frivolous and deplorable actions against myself, the chief of police, Troy Harrison, and other city employees. Mayor, as you stated in a recent city council meeting, I ask that you stop. Just stop it.
Next. Is there anybody else out there? Miss
Benson. I have one question about the water or the utility fuel thing.
Name, address, please.
Dayton Stevens. I'll catch y'all new. Dayton Stevens, 3508 West Bayou Drive. If a house is for sale, a lot of times the realtor will request that to get like the electricity, the usage, all those things for someone who's looking to buy a house. Do we have to then sign off to let them get that information? How would we do that?
We're not letting them respond to
it. They can't be
dialed. Okay, well, they're going to have to probably ask you later anyway. But can y'all maybe try to put that on the agenda next time so that we know how we have to take care of that in the event? And then also on the open carry issue, which is on here later. Personally, I can carry a concealed weapon. I don't, but I can have one in my purse, which no one could see because it wouldn't be on my side. I think that having the police, the chief, or any other official with a gun in here is a good idea in case someone comes in here that doesn't have a license and decides 2 years they're done. I would like to have the protection here now, not in a minute. That's all.
Anybody else on this phone? Good.
My name's Chuck Haste, 122 Meadow Lawn Street, Shore Acres. I kind of feel out of line with what I want to say, so I wanted to compliment our police on the support that I get at the Shore Acres Pier. They're always there for me. They're always there to take care of the place when I'm not there. I think their actions have always been professional. I have called them several times. Dispatch and report knows me by my first name. I do call them for them. But I just want to compliment the entire staff. I wasn't planning on speaking about open carry, but I think I have a little bit to say about it. Or concealed carry, either one. I think that raid in Florida and Orlando would not have occurred if there had been people in there with guns.
Amen.
They had 49 dead. Because they checked people going in, no guns in, and the person knew it. One gun in that place would have stopped that raid. Whether they were accurate or not, it would have stopped. Many raids. Chicago, 63 people shot in a 3-day weekend. Strictest gun laws in the nation. Doesn't speak well for it. As far as I know, the state of Texas, approximately 2% of the people in this state have either concealed carry or open carry licenses. When that came about in the state of Texas, the crime rate in this state dropped 30% in 3 years. These are facts. These are not my opinions. I think that anybody with a carry license, whether concealed or open, should be able to carry it as long as they're in compliance with Texas laws. And we got people here that can enforce that. Thank you.
Patrick Stanton, 128 City Lawn. I want to remind the council that you'll be working on the budget soon, and I hope that you have some cost-saving projects in mind, and you start building up the rainy day fund and balance the budget. Thank you.
Is there anybody here?
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, Madam Mayor, council members. I'm Neil Moore. I live at 1118 North Country Club Drive. There are several items on the agenda I'd like to address. I'll start with item 7.4. I'd like to hope that people in this room would have the same protections that are afforded under state law to the animals in the zoo in this state. No guns, no open carry, no concealed carry are allowed in the zoos. Now, there might have been some thinking behind that. I kind of think that people who are in this room should have the same degree of assurance that the animals in the zoos do. And as a consequence, but I understand some of the motivation behind this. I think it was a little impudent for the actions to be taken on this without consultation with the council and with action by the council. So I can understand how there might be a reaction to that. But I would like to say that I don't think any of us should have to be relying upon any of our officers to be our protection. We should be able to have the assurance that there are no firearms in a council meeting. There's certainly no firearms allowed when this room is used for court. That's provided under state law. I don't think we should be treated any differently than people who are in this court. Moving right along, I think it's a little premature, 7.5, to be discussing the audit committee. I think there are some issues that need to be worked out about what the function of the audit committee is. So this would be item 7.5, 7.6. And I think that could be, both of those items could be deferred until there gets some resolution on auditing in the city, what the purpose, function, and responsibilities and limitations of the audit committee are. Finally, I'd like to move on to item 7.9. Some of the council members know I've been a strong proponent for the utility funds being built up so that we have the cash available at any time to handle some of the very expensive repairs that we see have been occurring and apparently will continue to occur. And some have even heard that I tend to favor the use of the fees, and so I think reducing them at this time, particularly absent a budget for this coming year, is premature. Now, just to show you that even I can think through an issue and come to a different conclusion, I do think that the city should develop a healthy reserve for the utility fund, and I would postulate that number somewhere between $500,000 and $750,000, and that be available for immediate usage so we don't have delays, so that the money can be appropriated. But I do think a better way for raising that, and I thought this through and changed my mind, I think that should be done through the property taxes, and I will explain quite simply why. Fees that citizens in this community pay to the city are not tax deductible under federal tax law, whereas your property taxes are a deduction under federal tax law. That's not to say that I'm enamored with these charges, but I think they're necessary. They will continue to be increasingly necessary. And so I think this item for reducing the fees should be deferred at this time until there is a budget in place and there is a plan to develop the type of reserves that I've proposed for the types of repairs that we've been hit with and we inevitably will be hit with. So if that were to defer until we have a budget that addresses this issue as well as other city budgetary issues, I think that would be more appropriate time. And finally, my last point is I think if there are going to be budget workshops, they should be workshops in which the citizens are allowed to participate, not just sit there and listen to the council members talk about this line item or that line item or whatever. Members of the citizens really should have an opportunity to make both comments, suggestions, and bring recommendations to the budget workshop and be allowed to participate in those, much as we are here, but in a much more specific and directed manner. Thank you very much.
Sarah Andrews, 624. I just wanted to remind all of our elected officials that we elect you for to be the voice of the people, not for your opinions. And that your priorities for whether it be retaliation or for whatever reason don't get moved up for the issues that we have for all of the, you know, all of our long-term ordinance issues or whatever they may be. They don't get put behind for new issues that, you know, are getting popped on. So thank you.
We're going to move on to 6.5. Oh, I left the Angela. Thanks. 2.8, my complaint is with the mayor or the one in the middle, the female in the middle. I requested court documents from Travis County, and as retaliation, you posted on a public social media about me getting fired.
You're not allowed to direct.
Granted,
it's not city business.
I don't really care.
Okay, well, I'm going to have to ask you to sit down and to stop and sit down.
You did it on public, and I want your resignation.
You need to stop.
You're unprofessional.
Chief Harrison, can you ask her this?
Okay.
moving on to 6.1. Oh, I'm sorry. I went down the back over here.
Darling Gamble Bay, 616 Bayward. I'm back. And I'm going to say, first, thank you for fixing the water leak on Baywood and using the call system. I appreciate it very much. On that note, I knew we had a problem at 4 o'clock this morning, but I sure didn't want to call and report dispatch to tell them we had a little break. So I think it would be nice if we had an emergency number for us owls or early birds that notice a problem with the water that we can call and report it. That way they know when they get to work what they're looking at. Okay. The next one is, I don't understand, and maybe I will after y'all talk about it, is that we have been using the Fort Tax Collector for many years, as long as I remember, and I'm old. I don't understand why are we going over to Goose Creek across the bridge into Baytown to pay our city taxes. That doesn't make any sense. And then the next one is the concealed weapon. I hate guns. I don't own a gun personally. I respect the Second Amendment that says you can carry. But I am very fearful of coming into this council with someone that's packing, and I don't know about it. I may not know about anyone. There may be people you're packing. But for us to legalize it, I called City before and got their resolution on what they allow into City Council. And Patrice's office emailed me that back. And in March of 2016, they passed that resolution not allowing handguns in city chambers. Not at all. And if they can do it as the sizes they are, why in the world do we want to do it? It's just asking for trouble. We are not Chicago. We are not Orlando. We are not San Francisco. We are Shore Acres. And I don't understand why we create issues when there are no issues. Why don't we concentrate on the issues that we have, like the water, like the ditches, like the mowing, services that we need, instead of, can we pack a gun in council chambers? I mean, come on. We're friends. We're neighbors. Why in the world would you want to pack a gun in here? Unless you're a police officer. Leave it in the car. Leave it in the truck. Put it under the glove cart. I don't care. But I don't want to sit in this council chamber and have an irate citizen, like we have just seen, have a gun. That's threatening. And I just don't understand why this has even come up in the many years I have been here. I mean, I go back to 69. Never. Let's concentrate on what we need. A balanced budget, balanced ledgers, ditches, mosquitoes, because I'm known for that. City services. Not whether we can pack a handgun into city chambers. I feel very certain by that, and I feel very certain by y'all. I am threatened by y'all's rhetoric and your action. Anybody else? Okay, we're going to move on.
6.1 general activity report. I'm sorry, 6.0 administrative report, 6.1 general activity report. New administrative agenda is called.
6.1.1, World Country Club Drive Sewer Project. We still have not had the cure in place. I think the holiday threw them behind. Getting out here, I don't know what the specifics are. So we've had no progress in the last 2 weeks. That's all I have on that item. If there are any questions? 6.1.2, change the speed limit update. The new signs came in last week. And they'll start going up. We just got through reading the meters and the utility bills, so we'll get the some of our troops available, start changing those out. First thing they'll do is change out the 20-mile-an-hour signs to the wrong size, proper size signs, and then we'll move forward with adding the additional signs, which are 21 beyond that, that will be going up, 20-mile-an-hour speed limit signs. That's all I have on the speed limit update. Move forward on that. 6.1.3, Shoreacres Boulevard Westview sewer line failure. All the underground work was completed before the 4th of July holiday weekend. The roads were reopened to traffic. My understanding is we're still waiting on a Harris County permit for the restoration of Shoreacres Boulevard, that asphalt work. And as soon as they get the permit, then we'll be able to do that road restoration. And Westview is a concrete project that's a city street and doesn't require a permit, but for scheduling purposes, the contractor do both at the same time, and we'll get those streets repaired. But the underground sewer work is 100% complete, and it's working well.
Somebody have a question? Is there anything else you're working on from the city? Any issues or anything like that we need to be aware of?
As far as sewer issues go?
Just general, anything else you've got concerns or?
Well, not that I can put under this.
That's fine. That's fine on the agenda.
That's fine.
What about Baywood?
I'll address that in the public works report.
So that's it for 6.1?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so moving on to 6.2, monthly police department report. Chief Harrison.
Thank you, Council. The first thing is I want to, even though it was July and this is June's report, I'd like to thank Mr. Stahl and Public Works for opening, making sure that Shoreacres Boulevard got open before the 4th of July. And thank you, Mr. Jennings, for prodding that to the last meeting. That made our job a whole lot easier on Monday night, trying to get so many people out here. Those folks come into our city a few at a time all day long, and then everybody leaves in the same 5 minutes. And it's kind of a nightmare for about 20 minutes, but with the few officers as we have, it's always a chore to handle. It's probably something like working traffic downtown Houston for a few minutes. But it helped us a lot not having to put everybody down Baywood and Fairfield. And I didn't know which other streets we were going to use because I knew I'd get phone calls from citizens about any street we used. So they saved me all those phone calls. I'd like to remind, and I should have done this a couple of months ago as summer got here, but all you, speak to council, but if you have people that call you, make sure that they keep their alarm permits updated on their residential alarms, because when we make alarms, if there's not good information, we can't contact those people. We had an alarm today that people was in the house without the code, and I could not reach the homeowner for an hour or so, and it's unpleasant to stand there with somebody trying to figure out making that decision whether you leave somebody in somebody's home or not because you don't have the needed information. So update your alarm stuff, please. Other than that, the numbers are there. We tried to start our work service in June. It didn't work out. We just don't have enough people to go and send somebody to work warrants. Some of our reserves are Houston firemen, and they were busy the month of June. Others were off camping, so maybe in August we'll kick that off again and try that once again. Other than that, I'll take questions if you have anybody with numbers.
I have one.
Yes, ma'am.
The death investigation, what is that?
It appears to be a natural death, but it hasn't been ruled such yet, so it's still something that until I get that report from the medical examiner's office, I can't close it out.
But if you stand right there in front of that sun,
yeah.
Just right there. No, it's tall.
6.3, monthly Public Works Department report, Eric Ingram.
I'll be giving the report to Public Works this evening. In your packet is the written monthly report from Mr. Ingram. During the month of June, we had four water leaks. They were all on smaller lines. That was good. We were able to restart the use of the boom mower. Of course, we only have two personnel at present. We have a vacancy. We're trying to get filled. And we had meters to read and other things that were happening. But we did get some red. I would also note that we do have an after-hours number for Public Works. It is answered by LaPorte Dispatch. We don't mind someone calling at 4 o'clock in the morning. You want to take a note of it, or you can call City Hall for it. It's 281-842-3188. And that's the after-hours utility number for any problems that you see, whether it's a water break or a problem at one of our lift stations or sewer plant. And they will contact our Public Works personnel, and we'll address that. So that's all I have this evening.
I have a question. Did you ever get an ad on the paper or post the posting for the opening for Public Works on the website?
I have not got it on the website yet.
Can we do that pretty quick?
Yes. Okay. And I would also mention that a comment was made about the Baywood. We did have a water break today on Baywood. It's a small line and it dead ends at old 146. It only took us about 2 hours to get it repaired from the time that it was reported to us. So we could come in earlier, and it, when it got fixed before some people got up to go to work this morning, we'd be happy to do that.
Anybody else have any questions? And moving on to 7.0 business, 7.1 consideration and approval of invoices. Is there a motion?
I make a motion that we approve and pay our invoices.
I'll second.
So we have a motion to approve our invoices by Nancy, seconded by Ron Hoskins. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
So it passed unanimously. Moving on to 7.2. Consideration and approval of resolution number 2016-189 authorizing the city to apply for credit card from Wells Fargo Bank Business Direct authorization to borrow for the use of the city administrator and authorizing two members of council to sign the Wells Fargo authorization disclosure documents related to the issuance of the credit card. Do you have a motion?
I make a motion to pass resolution 2016-189 authorizing the city to apply for a credit card from Wells Fargo Bank Business Direct for the use of the city administrator and authorizing two members of council to sign the Wells Fargo authorization and disclosure documents related to the issuance of the credit card.
Second.
So we have a motion to pass resolution number 2016 by Nancy Schnell, seconded by Ron Hoskins. Do we want discussion?
I'm just going to go back to 2 weeks ago. Mr. Stahl, could you please reiterate to council with what has been transpiring over the last, 9 years or so that you have been using your own personal credit card and you don't have a city bank card and then the city has been reimbursing you?
That's correct.
And you would really, really like for us to get this card?
That's correct.
Okay. I just wanted to reiterate that first.
Yes, 11 years ago.
Oh, 11.
It was the then mayor 11 years ago. Who had it on her personal line of credit, and when she departed, the incoming mayor wasn't interested in doing that. So it became me. That's true. And I would also ask if you would amend your motion to include the names of the two aldermen that volunteered to sign as witnesses on the form. They're not witnessing a signature. They're witnessing that this action occurred before this body, and so that the city can have the line of credit.
I will do that once we figure out who we're going to be.
Is there anybody else? Do we want to vote?
We can't do that yet.
We'll wait. Okay. Sounds like you need to come up with two names.
I'm sorry.
Well, 207 to sign on it. I'll sign it. I'm fine with it.
Mr. Ron Austin?
Do we have an official thing? Do I sign it now or?
No, I'm going to get it to you.
Okay.
Is there anybody else that's volunteered? Do you have a list of two that volunteered?
No, I do not.
Okay, is there anybody else that's willing to sign off? I'll sign off on it. Okay.
I'll sign off on it. Okay. Thank you very much, sir.
So Ron Hoskins and Ricky Gould. Now we're ready to vote?
No. I make a motion to amend Resolution 2016-189 to include the names of Alderman Ron Hoskins and Alderman Ricky Bowles under Section 4. It should read, the council members listed herein are hereby authorized to sign Wells Fargo Bank Business Direct Authorization to Borrow application. And that should read, Alderman Ron Hoskins under A and Alderman Ricky Bowles under B. And that is a motion to amend.
So we have a motion to amend. Do we have a second? By Nancy Schnell, do we have a second?
I'll second.
So a motion to amend 2016-189 to include the names under Section 4 of Ron Hoskins and Ricky Bowles, the signers for that, seconded by Ron Hoskins. All those in favor?
Aye.
The pass unanimously. So now we go back to your original motion to pass by Nancy, seconded by Ron Hoskins. Motion to pass resolution number 2016-189 authorizing the city to apply for a credit card from Wells Fargo Bank, business direct authorization to borrow for the use of the city administrator, and authorizing two members of council to sign the Wells Fargo authorization and disclose documents related to the issuance of the credit card. All those in favor?
Aye.
All right.
Okay, so the motion passed unanimously. Moving on to 7.3. Consideration and action to adopt ordinance number 2016-209 approving an interlocal agreement with the Goose Creek Consolidated Independent School District provided to provide the City of Shore Acres for property tax collection services. Do you have a motion?
I'll make a motion.
A second.
I'll second.
We have a motion to approve or to adopt ordinance number 2016-209 by Alderman Jennings, seconded by Alderman Bowles. Do you have a discussion?
Can I speak to the issue?
Sure.
Good evening. Before you have this ordinance for interlocal agreement, as you may know, for many years, as was earlier said, the City of LaPorte has done tax session collection duties for the City of Shore Acres under a similar contractual agreement based on the number of accounts. That has been done ably during my last 11 years here by Kathy Powell, and Kathy Powell is going to retire, so she's going to be much happier, I'm sure. The City of LaPorte, in looking at their operation of tax collection, has decided that rather than upgrade and restaff, that they would take another option that a lot of other entities have, and use the outstanding resource of Goose Creek ISD, who has a fully automated system, and will do their tax assessment collection for them, much like they did it for us. At their last meeting, they did the same type of agreement. In talking with Goose Creek, they have agreed to do our tax assessment collection for us at the same rate that the City of LaPorte did. We have visited with them, and Annie has had conversations with us this evening. We have Charlene here, who I'll ask to speak to you for just a moment about their process. This is going to be a win-win-win for the City of Shore Acres in that they are going to open a satellite office at LaPorte, so our citizens can go to the same place they historically have, and they'll just be dealing with a different behind-the-scenes operation. Not only are they taking the City of LaPorte, but also LaPorte ISD. It's my understanding.
And Morgan's Point.
And Morgan's Point as well. The number keeps growing. There's a large number of entities that they do. And they have, like I said, an automated system. So it is an increased convenience to our residents in that they have online access to their tax records, online payments, their tax records, things that we did not have previously. And so I think it's a win, and I will invite you to tell us how wonderful you are.
I think you did a good job on that. Basically, as a citizen, you'll still be able to go to LaPorte and pay like you've always paid. You'll still be able to ask questions from behind the counter and from the staff that's there. In fact, I have staff right now that's in my office from the City of Fort that's training on our systems. We will be connecting them via the internet, and they will be on our systems, just like someone in my office. We already have a branch office in Crosby. We have 4 drop boxes. We have the website. We have a 1-800 and Spanish translation as well, so you can pay by phone, which a lot of the elderly people like. A lot of the Spanish people like that because they don't like to pay up with, you know, it just depends on the person. But we try to accommodate all the needs. So really, from your point of view, we're more like a billing house. You know, we'll be processing the money, processing the bills that go out. But from the appearances to the public and the services that they get, they should be very similar with some added features that you haven't had before. And we designed it that way because we didn't want to go to the county either. You know, we wanted to be able to still give local service. And to me, the best way to do that was to provide that branch office in that local community run by their people that are used to seeing your people, and they know you, they live in the community. It's pretty much the same deal. But by being able to bring everybody together in a interlocal agreement, we only charge for exactly what it costs us to do it. So it's not a profit center. We're not a private enterprise. We're government just like you. We're just trying to do something that keeps local control local. We have to be able to make it where we can afford it. It's a very expensive operation. We have 10 staff members that are on my staff. We also have all the computer systems because the money that comes in goes out tomorrow. We don't hold the money. It rolls because we have all the processes in place. That's extremely expensive. Just on an annual basis without payroll, it's almost $300,000 a year. This is the reason why the City of LaPorte ISD and all of them are coming our way. And I've got other people lined up after this. It's a good idea.
I'd like to say two things that she said, but I want you to know the significance to us. She used the term Dropbox, and this is a relatively new technology in the finance world, and this is an ability to have a box where you receive cash, and you make a deposit, and you drop it in the box, and as soon as you drop it in the box, it's credited to the bank.
Right.
And they send a armored truck, and they come pick the entire box up and swap it out, and so what that does is that accelerates the deposit timing.
It also protects the cash flow.
Correct.
Because at the end of the day, any cash that's come into any of the branch offices is in that safe immediately. It basically creates the deposit. We're going to get credit. It immediately becomes the bank's responsibility the second they put the cash in that machine. So it's a security feature as well. The checks. If someone comes and pays with a check, we use the Epson Panini just like your banks do. So all the checks are processed at the end of the day. They're in our bank the next morning, and they're going out back to the jurisdiction. So we have during tax season, we roll every 24 hours. On January 31st, every bit of mail that comes through the door, everything that's there is processed by the end of the day on the 31st. You don't have that right now.
Yeah, they say that's one. The Dropbox was one. The other thing was the cash flow.
Yeah.
LaPorte was manual, and you all know that 90% of the city's revenue is property tax.
Yeah.
And so the first quarter is tough for us because we don't have any revenue stream coming in. And LaPorte, everybody gets hammered at the same time with paying receipts, and without the automated system, it lags, and we would be 2 weeks between getting checks from taxes, and they would mail them. It would get to the point where we would send somebody over to pick the check up once a week. With this system, it will be direct deposited to our account, and we'll have it in virtually next day.
The other thing that we do for the citizens that most people don't do, and we're one of the very few tax offices in the state, I did it because I have a lot of seniors in some of the entities that I have, and they pay their own taxes, their houses are paid for. But sometimes when that bill comes due, it seems like it's bigger, or you had expenses maybe you were saving, and then you didn't have the money there. So we do what we call a prepaid escrow, which the tax code allows us to do. Our software accommodates it. So I have a lot of people, and this helps on collections, that want to pay 50, whatever they feel like every month. so that when the tax bills come out in October, it goes into a non-interest bearing account. All taxes have to sit in a holding cell that does not earn interest. We're not making money off of it. It's for a service for that individual, so that the money's sitting there when the bill goes out. And we have a program that loads those right to the bill as soon as we get the bills out there. We'll send them the receipt if they paid it in full. If they haven't paid it in full and they still have a balance due, they're going to get a receipt regardless, but then they'll also get a bill for the remaining balance. And then they have another 3 or 4 months they can try to come up with that. When we took over Crosby ISD in 2011, that feature was really popular because they have a lot of senior citizens. And it totally changed their early cash flow money that they didn't have before. And they're very small, too. So they have the same problem. It was dramatic for them. And it's really dramatic to someone that's trying to save all year long to come up with that money and pay the bill. And it's so much easier when it's already, you know, they can do it by phone, they can do it by mail, they can go over to Old Ports, they can put it in a Dropbox, you know, website, however they want to do it. But those are one of the things. We're all about keeping it local, keeping the service where we want it to be, and we're only paying for exactly what it costs. So that's what we're about. Any questions?
Will you all also pursue the delinquent taxes that are owed?
We have your delinquent attorney. I believe you have Purdue. I actually work with 3 different law firms. The city of Baytown has one that they like. Goose Creek and Lee College has one that they like. And whoever the board has appointed, that's who we work with. Purdue is already used to working with us, and we give them a data file. They prefer to receive a data file, but they use our website more than anything else, because when a payment is posted 30 seconds later, it actually hits the website. So it is the most current and accurate information you can find. So the lawyers use it before they go to court. But we also do something a little more unique with Purdue. It took me a while to convince them when I got their first account, which was Huffman ISD, that I could increase their collections, and I did. In fact, I've increased all of them. But we do installment agreements at the point of the tax office, and that would include LaPorte City. So if somebody wanted to come into LaPorte City, they needed to, you know, catch up their taxes and wanted to do an installment agreement. One of the things I was training the clerk on today was how we do that. We have an automated system for that. And we have assigned people, too, that are like paralegals within our office. That's why our staff is so large. And we have a program that will let them know if they haven't made their payment, if they're late, and then we notify the attorney. What it does is it gives you money even in the slow months of the year when you can make an opportunity for someone to be able to pay off their taxes in a payment that they can afford and in a time period that works for them. That's what we have to figure out when we get somebody to come in, because 9 times out of 10 they got there because something happened. You know, they lost a job, you know, illness, whatever. And so what it does is it gets cash flow in every month that you wouldn't normally have, but at the same time it also helps that person pay it off. It increases your collections. On most of the people that I've taken over, the entities, it's over a period of time, 2%, 1.5%, just depending on how good their collections were before I got them. In the case of Huffman and Crosby, which are both Purdue accounts, I increased them by 2%. Now they're on different fiscal year cycles in the city. City runs a lot further than most of the school districts, but even still, it's dramatic. And the best part is, in the slower months, you see a higher income come in because you're getting all these monthly payments that you weren't getting before, rather than having to take to court. Taking a property to sell is the last resort. We would rather work it out privately, let the person get it taken care of, and feel like that they accomplished something, and then we got the money. We didn't have to sell the property. We didn't have to maintain the property, because when you get it and it doesn't sell at auction, the city is going to have to mow it or whatever else happens to it. And so it's a pain. And then trying to get rid of it, too.
Thank you.
Question. So the office in LaPorte, is it open yet? Is it live? Or is it? Are you in the process? And what's your timeline?
Our timeline is very aggressive. It's August 1st. That was an aggressive goal. We have made the link connection so far. That's been accomplished. We finally got a dump file, a data file, today. We should have had that 4 weeks ago. That's put us and my you know, programming staff really against the wall because that gives them a very short window. We cannot stress enough how manual the system was. It was very manual. So this is a difficult file to begin with because you have some data and then you had everything else on spreadsheets all over the place, and we're having to marry all that data into a system that's actually compliant with state law. So I think you'll be real happy with what you get. If we can accomplish it, we're going to try for August 1st or shortly thereafter, and that would be with the delinquents. We'll be loading the 2016 roll. I've already seen all the changes that you've made for your homestead exemption, for your freeze ceilings that are going to be set. Wonderful. I'm glad because now that puts everybody that I have with ceilings. That's already been turned over to the programmers. We're already ready for that. We're catching all the pieces that we can catch early on while we're waiting for the data file to be done. We still have to connect up the Panini. The one piece that will probably be behind schedule because we can't control it is J.P. Morgan Chase. It's very, very good, but they're not fast. They're big banks, and they have a lot of steps when they do something. So the delivery of our Smart Safe is what they call the product. It might be a few weeks behind, but it will not impact any impact of services to the public. It just means I have to have a pickup rather than it going into the safe until it arrives. And it's because of the electronics that goes into the safe, because it's feeding back to them every day. They know exactly what's going on.
So we have a motion by Alderman Jennings to adopt ordinance number 2016-209, seconded by Alderman Jones. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Passes unanimously.
Yeah. 14.